Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and tonight we are joining you on this Sunday night. The Packers and Steelers are still happening right now. A little bit shocking that the game is currently as close as it is, but we will cover that game and Monday night's game on our Power Ranking show later this week. But for right now, we're just going to cover what kind of happened in the NFL today.
I'm
As
doing
always, I'm joined
good.
by
How
my
about
good
you?
friend, Christian Castain. How you doing, Chris?
Little frustrated.
Fandom wise, it was a rough day. Yeah, just generally, I had kind of a rough day, so I'm a little bit tired,
I'm
but I'm
excited to talk
excited
about the Broncos.
to talk about football here today.
No.
Let's start. Oh, well, we'll get to them very last. We'll start with your team, the Atlanta Falcons, who blew, well, not really blew out, but who won against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 34 to 20. This game was kind of close in the fourth quarter, which I was a little bit concerned about, but in the end, Atlanta closed it out, and I'm not worried about Atlanta anymore. But Steve Sarkisian seems to have gotten it figured out. I think he just needed to learn kind of what the team was. And I think the team kind of needed to learn him. I think that it was kind of like the Kyle Shanahan offense at first. It takes a little while to learn, but once you get it, it all clicks. And today, it certainly looked like it clicked. And the
Well,
guy
really, what this game
who took over
came
was
down to
Julio
is
Jones.
Julio Jones. They actually got Julio Jones in the game, which is what the Falcons need. I mean, he had two touchdowns for 253 yards. I mean, or 50, it was 256 yards. Yeah, he had a dominant day. When Julio
That's
dominates,
a
the Falcons
dominant
are
day.
probably gonna win.
Yeah,
But it wasn't just that. It was the defense today. It stepped up, played like a Dan Quinn defense, a Seattle type defense. It was fast. I was impressed with the defense more than the offense, but I'm glad Steve Sarkisian's finally getting Julio a lot of touches. I don't remember, he had like 16 touches today. Pretty good. Here it is. The thing is, he had everybody in play today. He was passing to Jeffrey. Yeah, and he.
12 receptions for Julio Jones. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but if you give
Yeah,
Julio
but
Jones
he
12
got everybody
receptions,
else in
he'll
play.
make a
Austin
big yardage day.
Hooper, Taylor Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu, everybody was in play today. That's why they won the game today. Was Steve Sarkisian's impressive game calling and the defense stepped up today. The points doesn't look like it, but it really did. It held the field goals, and I think Tampa Bay scored two touchdowns today, but two touchdowns and two field goals. So, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's played well lately. I'll tell you, he's played well the past 2 weeks. And granted, it's Miami and I think the Jets, but still, I mean, that's impressive in my opinion.
Yeah, he's definitely been the better quarterback all year in Tampa Bay, and he is what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He's certainly not a full year starter, but he's a guy where if your quarterback goes down or if your team is struggling and you put him in 3 to 4 weeks into the season, he can have 5 or 7 good weeks of football, which is what they're probably going to get from him down the stretch. My question for you. Some big injuries on defense for the Falcons in this game. Are you at all concerned about the
Well,
cornerback
I want to wait
injury?
and see
I
what
forgot his name.
it comes out to be
Desmond
because I'm
Trufant,
not
I want
sure
to say.
yet. We'll know tomorrow more, of course. But if he's out for a while, I'm not as concerned as you might think, or as people might think, because they played without Desmond Trufant last season and they stepped up. It was the next man up process, and they played well. So I'm not as quite as concerned as I would have been 3 weeks ago when the offense wasn't clicking. Which now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. I don't think there's still going to be struggles. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat right now. Because there will be struggles. This isn't it. It's not going to be like they're going to score 30, 40 points every game. It's not going to happen. They're going to have games where they're down. Steve Sarkisian is still learning that offense. So, in a way, I'd be concerned. But right now, I'm not. I want to wait and see what happens. But if he say he's out for an extended period of time, they're not going to win out or anything. They won't probably do that anyway, but because they have a tough schedule coming up with the Vikings, et cetera, which we'll talk about Friday. But right now, I'm not that concerned about it.
Right, big game against the Vikings next week for them. The Bengals beat up on the Browns. This was a game I thought that the Browns might have a chance to upset on, but it did not end up going that way really at all. And I am honestly pretty concerned that this team could go 0-16. I'm pulling up their schedule right now, but they have the Chargers next week. The Browns do not have an easy way to finish their schedule. Of course, no schedule is going to be easy for the Browns. But you tell me what you think, Chris. They have the Browns, the Packers, the Ravens, the Bears, and the Steelers. I know that we think the Packers could beat the Packers or the Bears, but if the Packers continue to play well like they're playing tonight against Pittsburgh.
Maybe.
I don't know. I have a hard time seeing where this team gets a win.
It would actually happen, but I think their only realistic win possibility is the Bears. The Bears look like trash today. In the first quarter, the Eagles turned the ball over 2 times, and out of that whole game, you get extra possessions and you only score 3 points. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned that the Bears might be their first win, which might be John Fox's start of getting out the door in Chicago, which we'll talk about that in a minute, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll talk about Eagles, Bears. But anyway, the road looks realistic. The road looks really realistic, and I am scared for the Browns that it might happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, yeah. So
I don't really have anything to say for the Bengals.
We've already dismissed them. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm fairly confident.
I would say that's the chances.
I mean,
of the
that's all I've got for this game. Anything else, or should we move
on? Pretty likely, maybe 75%. But yeah, there's not too much to talk about. I think the Bengals, their schedule is too tough. I think this is what you said on that article. Two teams that are going nowhere. That looks like that, unless the Bengals somehow pull off some upsets. That's what it looks like.
Yep. The Titans had some real trouble with getting their offense going against the Colts, but their defense stepped up big time, sacking Jacoby Brissett 8 times. This game was tight, but the Titans got the win. Are the Titans, I know we said that this kind of determines whether we think they're a playoff team or not. What do you think about the Titans? I'm still not completely sold. Like, they worry me.
They're a playoff team because of how bad that bottom, that 5 to 11 stack is. But if this were the NFC, no way I'd have them even remotely close to the playoffs because they wouldn't have won some of the games they won. Sure.
Well, okay, then let me pose this question.
Do you think the Bills are a better team than the Titans? Because
I think the Bills are a better team than the Titans.
Lost on the Bills. We've seen them be inconsistent for the past 4 weeks. But this game looked like they're falling back into the first half of the season Bills. So I'm not sure. I mean, the Titans are more consistent than the Bills. I would say that. But the defense isn't very good. So it's tough. Yeah.
Okay. Rank these teams. Rank these four teams right now. The Titans, the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chargers.
This isn't based off of record. So you said, okay, so let me. Titans, who?
This is based on how they're playing right now.
Bills and Chargers.
Titans, okay. Ravens, Bills, and Chargers.
Alright, so I'm going to go for one. Like I said, this has absolutely nothing to do with record. Chargers are going to be number one. I think they're the best team of these four teams. They're not the most consistent. But I think talent-wise, and I know they have a losing record, but still, they look like the best team out of these four. I think they have the most formidable offense and defense. They're more even than these other teams. These other teams either have a good defense and a terrible offense, or vice versa. At two, I'm going to take the Titans. I like their offensive line. I think they can get some running game going throughout the rest of the season. Their schedule is not that tough. So I would go, those are my probably. And then three, I'm going to take the Ravens. That team's just tough for me. And then the four, I'm going to take the Bills. But I'm confident in Chargers, Titans as one and two. The other two, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about the Ravens and the Bills. They've been extremely inconsistent.
I know we love that you love the Titans' offensive line and you think they can get a running game going. But against the Colts, they only put up 92 rushing yards.
Get a run game going. I'm not saying
that's embarrassing.
But the offensive line has the talent there. The talent's there, and we've seen it before.
Yeah. Other thoughts on this?
To be honest, for me, I think the Colts are who we thought the Colts were. Jacoby Brissett is middle of the pack, a little below middle of the pack. Nothing new. This is nothing I didn't expect.
Right. Moving on. The one thing I'd add is the Colts allowing a Titans defense that isn't great to sack your quarterback eight times. I don't know how you think you're going to put Andrew Luck behind this line. Because if he's already got a bad shoulder, I don't like how is he expected to stay healthy in this offense? Like that has to be a major concern for him going into the offseason.
That offense line is a mess, which we knew that from the get-go. This isn't nothing new, though.
Yep. Moving on to the next game that we have to talk about here, which is the Panthers, who took and won a game in New York. The Jets played this game close. The Jets got gypped out of another touchdown because the catch rule is dumb. Other than that, this was a pretty... The Panthers are going to win by running the ball and having a great defense. Cam Newton didn't look good in this game. He missed some wide-open throws. But running the football, he looked excellent. And they were able to get the yardage through defensive turnovers, special teams, and kind of gimmicky offensive plays. Which is really the way the Panthers have existed the last few years here in the NFL. Those were my main takeaways from watching this game? It would. I know that you didn't get this
no,
game,
I saw
Chris.
The end of
would
this
there
game
be any questions
the
you have
thought,
for me about
to be honest,
either one of
I
these
saw
teams?
The catch, and I thought the Jets got screwed out of a touchdown. To be honest, I thought for sure that was a touchdown, but it wasn't. So that ended up being the game changer. To be honest, this was an ugly game. This was an ugly game. I know it was the score didn't say that, but Cam Newton didn't have a good game. Besides that, this is inconsistent Panthers offense. So I mean, it's been like this all season. It's been up and down, up and down.
Yep. That's all I got for this game. Another game we can cover fairly quickly. The Eagles dismantled the Bears, and that may not seem like a big deal, but you talk about bad, good teams sometimes going and getting played tough by bad teams. The Eagles are certainly not that. The Eagles are, that's how I can tell the Eagles are legit, is because when we expect them to go beat down on a team, they do it, and they did what they were expected to do. To your point about the Bears not having any offense, I don't think that's necessarily on the Bears' offense. I think that's more on the Eagles' defense. I just think that the Eagles' defense is so underrated. I think they're a top-five defense for sure, and nothing changes about the Eagles. I still think they're
the
best
Eagles
team in the NFC.
The ball over two times in the first quarter, and they still did what they did and annihilated the Bears as we expected. I think the Eagles defense is legit as advertised. It is, this whole team is, there's so few, I guess, what do you want to call it? There's no real weakness in this team. Like, and if you can name it, then fine. And it's probably like one weakness, but that's it. So I would say that this was what we expected. This is why, like you said, exactly what you said. This is why they're a great team. Or I would say a great team. I think we could agree they're a great team. But the Bears, oh my goodness. I don't know. Maybe the Bears aren't as awful as they look today because the Eagles are so legit and their defense is so... That defensive line, oh my goodness, I think that might be the second best defensive line in the NFL. I'm serious. That defensive line, I love that defensive line. But getting off that point, the Bears. I hope the Bears aren't this bad. I mean, Trubisky didn't have a great day, but he kind of kept it out for the most part. I guess he wasn't even a game manager. He didn't look good at all. But like I said, this may be the Eagles defense, which is why I don't have too much to say about the Bears. We'll find out about the Bears soon when they go up against teams like the Browns. Now, if they lose to the Browns, I'm serious. John Fox will probably be fired. He will probably be fired at the end of the season, and I can't blame him because you lose to a team that's probably going to go 1-15. That's pathetic. That is pathetic. I don't have too much to say about this game besides that.
Yeah, moving on, the Patriots. I mean, they dismantled the Dolphins. Per usual, I mean, I wasn't surprised. I don't think you were surprised. I think both of us realized that the Dolphins are a bad team, and... You know,
well, I will say
bad teams
to give the Dolphins a little credit.
Things like this.
Nothing to say about the Patriots. I don't have too much to say about the Patriots. The offense looked a little more formidable with Matt Moore. A little more. I will give them credit. It looked a little better today than it has with Jay Cutler. But besides that, they're still a bad team, so.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus from everyone on this team. Moving on to our next game that we will be talking about here. The Seahawks demolished the 49ers, but Jimmy G did get into this game at the end for the wrong reasons. C.J. Beathard got injured, and Garoppolo got two throws and threw a touchdown on one of them. It was a really nice-looking throw. And, yeah, I mean,
I'm not necessarily saying that the Seahawks demolished the 49ers.
What are you
going to
say here, Chris?
I wouldn't go that far. That wasn't a demolishment. That was a... It wasn't a good win.
Well, offensively they dominated the team. The defense, we expected the defense to struggle. The touchdowns they got were in garbage time. Throughout most of this game, the Seahawks dominated time of possession. They dominated the yardage stats. I was impressed in the 49ers, to be honest.
Because they were able to hold Russell Wilson. I know that the offensive line hasn't played well. I know that the Seahawks offense hasn't been good lately. Great. But they were able to kind of hold Russell Wilson back. It was close the whole game, pretty much. It was within two scores. So I'm going to give the 49ers a little credit here. I think that they played decently. They didn't look like the worst team in the NFL. I will say that.
What concerns me the most about the 49ers is their offensive line, because C.J. Beathard got injured, and now next week Jimmy G's going to play, and C.J. Beathard was getting hit so hard behind that offensive line. And you and John, for some reason, didn't buy into the fact that this offensive line was going to get quarterbacks hurt, and finally C.J. Beathard just, he broke because he's been hit so many times. Like, even on that touchdown throw, Jimmy G gets demolished. I'm really afraid that he's going to get hurt, and you don't want to do that to a guy who could potentially be your franchise.
Jimmy G gets back there, and he gets injured. But I'm going to talk about what's happened. C.J. Beathard, I'm not going to put 100% of... Yes.
He has played so well. He has played really well. You can't tell me that C.J. Beathard is the reason they're losing.
No, I'm not saying that.
Because he's not. He's not turning the ball over, and he's throwing touchdowns.
That happens. Injuries happen. It's not... I'm not saying it was 100% on the offensive line, because the injuries happen. I could... you get sacked the wrong way.
Yeah, but... You're going to see if... You need to watch the 49ers play.
I'm not saying it's not.
Tell me that
I'm not saying it's not, though.
If line is I'm not the worst
I'm
in the league.
Saying
because
that
it is. And like a thousand.
Like one 49ers game.
Okay.
I don't. I'm just saying that 100% of it can't be on the offensive line, because you can't say he got injured because the offensive line is bad. Because one wrong sack, one move wrong, and you get sacked, that's it. That could be your season. So I'm not saying the offensive line isn't bad. I'm sure it is. I'm sure the offensive line is bad. It's looked bad from based off of what little bit I've seen. But I'm just saying I can't blame him getting injured on the offensive line. But Jimmy G, as far as Jimmy G goes, I'm gonna assume that in these few games that he probably won't get injured with it being so close to the end of the season. I mean, it took that long for C.J. Beathard to get injured. I'm going to say that he probably... Jimmy G's going to be a little better than C.J. Beathard, and that'll be the difference. I was impressed with Jimmy G based off the little that we saw today. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I'd agree. He's definitely He's a good wide receiver, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's not too much to talk about. Yeah, there's not too much to talk about.
That is, that's all I got on this game. Are we ready to move on? All right. The next game we talk about here today will be the Jaguars, who went on the road and lost in a shootout. And to be honest, I'm not surprised at this loss. I kind of thought the Jaguars might struggle. We said on Friday's show this was kind of a prove-it game, and I mean, the Jaguars are who we think they are. They're a great defensive team with a quarterback who is a liability, even though he didn't play awful this game. Blake Bortles had a killer last-minute interception in the final minutes of this game that led to the game-winning touchdown. Bortles played well, though, minus that, really. So it's not that he's 1,000% terrible. Yeah. It's that he's good for most of the game, and then in the last second, he always kind of chokes. I'm just not really sure what to think about the Jaguars. I'm not sure. Like, I think they're a playoff team, but I'm not sure they're a playoff team. Until
I would say they're
going to
make the playoffs because they already have 7 wins, but and their division's so awful between the Colts, the Titans, and the Texans. I would say they're going to make it. They're bound to pretty much. They're pretty much all. You get 2 or 3 more wins and you're in. Their schedule is too. It isn't hard enough to say that they're going to miss the playoffs, but what they're going to do on the playoffs, that's concerning right now because Blake Bortles, not surprisingly, this is nothing new, that he throws a last-second interception to ruin a win for the Jaguars that should have been a win. He does it consistently. He's done it consistently. Now, granted, he's had a few games that were in a row that he hasn't done that, but today he did it, and it's not shocking. As far as the Cardinals go, I do want to quickly talk about the Cardinals. I don't think they're completely done yet. They're on the outside looking in. They're on the edge.
Really?
On the edge. Because I had them as a bad team.
That really surprises
team,
me.
But they're 5-6. There's some other teams at 5-6 that I think are on the edge of bad team and outside looking in. And I put the Cardinals into the outside looking in. I did actually a little while ago. I put it posted on Twitter if you want to see the other teams that where they're ranked at. But Do I think it's going to happen? Do I think they'll make the playoffs? No, I don't. But I'm saying that the way they look today kind of made me move them up to the outside looking in, saying that there's a little chance that they could turn it around.
That's a total role reversal because I bought into these guys in the
preseason.
In the, when was it? In the, you know, the, oh crap, the preseason. And you kind of told me, you know, that's not really a great idea. And I believe you were right. I don't see what you. Like, I don't know how you still give them a chance to be alive. Like, the teams above them, I think the Redskins are better than
them. Yes, and
I think the Cowboys, even though Dak is struggling,
I think they're all better.
I think the Cowboys are better.
But I do see the downside on each of those teams. It's not a good shot at all. It's not even.
So you think the Cardinals have a shot to make the
playoffs? But the. I don't understand how you flip-flop so quickly.
I see 0% chance they get into the playoffs.
That they're behind have some kind of weakness, and they've been struggling lately. If they catch them down, if they luck up and get a couple wins or something, I think if you win 4 of your next 5 games, it's not going to happen. I'm going to go ahead and say they're not making the playoffs, but I'm saying they'll. I'm saying they have us with the weaknesses of the other teams besides the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. I see it as a little chance. If they luck up and win another game or two beyond that, they make the playoffs. They're in the wild card, but are they going to do it? No.
The wild card. I don't think a six-win team makes the wild card. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Like I think the most losses you can have in the NFC to make 11 it is going to be 5.
Not all them teams are going 11-5.
I don't think a 6-loss team makes it.
And
I mean,
there's going to be a 10-6 team.
Well, I don't know, dude. I don't think there's going to be a 10-6 team in the NFC playoffs. I think it's way too top heavy. Like even the Lions are probably going to end up
I think they already have five losses. They're not going undefeated.
I think the Lions could end up at 11-5.
Mm-mm, they're not.
Yeah, then they won't make the playoffs, but I'm just saying. I think it's the only team besides the Cowboys that I would say have any chance.
And but I don't think the Cowboys have a chance. But I think, like I said, I think the way Blaine Gabbert played today, I think with Adrian Peterson, and if Carson, I don't think Carson Palmer's coming back. I could be wrong about that, but yeah, that's.
I think Blaine Gabbert has played better than Carson Palmer, to be honest with you. I think
Blaine Gabbert has played excellently. I like the way he's looked so far. I think it's too late. Even if he were to play, I'm saying basically what I'm saying is everything breaks perfectly and they basically win out.
Yeah.
And maybe when lose another game, they have a chance. But that's it.
Okay. Okay. I still don't understand why you would even. Okay. But we'll move on. I guess I see the logic. I just don't know why you bring it up. The Rams, a big win over the Saints. I did not get this game because I got my trash team instead. You watched this game, though. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened and just some of your general takeaways.
Because the defense didn't look great and the offense. Okay, so the defense has been carrying this team. I mean, for some parts of the season, because the offense hasn't been perfect. It's been okay, but today it wasn't great. It was okay at best, and the defense couldn't carry the team without Marshawn Lattimore. That's why they lost. I mean, but the Rams looked really good today, but I kind of downed that because of the loss of Marshawn Lattimore and two other defensive players. That bit the Saints today. I think too many injuries on the defense. I don't think anything less of the Saints as long as they get to keep Marshawn Lattimore and the other two key players back. But right now, they could be in for a struggle with the next couple weeks. But the Rams look like a good playoff team. That's what this win told me today. I thought Jared Goff looked like the number one draft pick from last year. I thought that's the way the number one draft pick's supposed to look, and it happened. So I was impressed with the Rams to a certain degree, but I kind of downsized the win.
Okay, so another. Let me ask you this question. Ranking teams again. We kind of did this like a few weeks ago. Let's just do it now again. Since for Rams, we mentioned they have these big games against big NFC teams that would kind of shake up the NFC. Rank these four teams: the Eagles, the Vikings, the Saints. Saints, Rams, and we'll throw in the Falcons.
I think we should stick to the 14, but I'm gonna go ahead and do this. I think it's ranked how it should. I think it's ranked. Okay, so for me, I have the Eagles at 1. They look the best. Right, I don't. I think we both agree with that. There's no question. At 2, the Vikings defense is great. Case Keenum's played very well. As long as Case Keenum keeps it up. At 3, I have the Rams. And at 4 right now, I have the Saints, because if they get any kind of defensive injury, their defense is going to kind of start teetering back to be low average. So I'm going to take the Saints at 4. Would you agree?
Okay. I might have the Saints above the Rams just because I trust Drew Brees more than I trust Jared Goff, but I can't argue with your list. I might shocker. I might have the Vikings number one, or close to number one. Although I don't want to put them there, but I could make an argument that they could be because I think they're just as good as the Eagles. Like in a different way though. Like they don't have the flashy offense like the Eagles do, but they have a dominant defense and they have an offense that can
yeah, I think that's fair.
Give big actually, long clock killing drives.
That was kind of a debate for me because I think the record and what we saw, what we've seen, I think the Eagles beat down on teams they're supposed to beat down on. The Vikings, Case Keenum, I'm still kind of, I won't say he's inconsistent, but I won't even hit towards it. But I will say that
You literally just hinted toward that though by saying you hinted towards Case Keenum being inconsistent
I'm not saying
Case Keenum's inconsistent.
Case Keenum's gonna turn back to the old Case Keenum that we used to see. But like I said, I don't know. It's just the quarterback thing and the defense. I'm not worried about the defense. If we were ranking these defenses, Vikings go one. But right now, if we were ranking the offenses, they're both so close. Like they're both so close. It's hard. This one's not easy. But I think with the record, that's why we couldn't question who was number one.
As far as your quarterback thing goes, I think the same argument could be made for Carson Wentz, though, because I know he's playing great right now. I know he's playing like an MVP, but, I mean, look what happened to Derek Carr within, like, an off season. Like, he went from one of the best in the league to, like, kind of a middling low top-tier quarterback. Like, I could see Carson Wentz, I don't know, collapsing in the playoffs or fading a little down the stretch. He's played well thus far, but I mean, what's to say he doesn't turn into the guy he was last year? Why can we say that with Carson Wentz and not with? Why do we only say that with Case Keenum and not Carson Wentz?
Because
Carson
Wentz
isn't that far removed from kind of being what Case Keenum was.
I think that was part of why he kind of faded off. I think the injury and the offseason for the... I think the Raiders situation is different. I think, to be honest, I think the coaching in Philadelphia is better. I think that's part of the reason why the Raiders fell off the way they did, and Derek Carr. But if you look at it, Carson Wentz didn't have a terrible season last year. Did he?
Yeah, but he was still kind of like Case Keenum, where...
Yeah, but that was his first year in the season.
His mechanics were awful, and he threw some
bad interceptions. That was his first season in the NFL. Should we be shocked? Nobody's going to play perfect.
I mean...
Yeah, but we've
Case
seen him
Keenum
play.
Case Keenum isn't going to play perfect. Last year was his first year ever being a starter. He's basically where Carson Wentz is in his
development.
Yeah,
but we've seen him as a backup.
No,
we've
he's not, because Case Keenum's only been a starter
for a
year? Right, but, okay. All right. I don't know how to make this argument, so we'll just move on. But I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't separate them by that
fair.
Much.
I
might even put Minnesota number one. I'd say they're neck and neck.
Like, not there yet, but I think the point is fair.
Right. Okay. Let's just finish with the AFC West, and I'll let you pick your poison. You can choose any team.
The best division. That's not the best division in football. It's not the best division in football.
It kind of is, though. Like, as far as, like, right. Not, like, skill-wise, but, like, down the stretch, if you look at the records, like, minus the Broncos, anyone can win that division.
I'm going to pick the Raiders. I'm going to go ahead and talk about the Raiders.
All right, let's start with the Raiders, because I think the Raiders, like, if you think the Cardinals have a sneaky chance to make the playoffs in the NFC, you cannot tell me I'm crazy if I think the Raiders still have a shot to make it in the AFC, especially in a bad AFC, because they played extremely well today, and they've played well the last few weeks, and with the Chiefs' loss, they're right back down to earth. The standings in the AFC West as of right now are as follows. The Chiefs are on top at 6-4. Second place, you have the Chargers at 5-6. Third place, the Raiders at 5-6. And the Broncos at 3-8. The Raiders' schedule through the rest of the year is as follows. Let me just pull it up here. I looked at this earlier today. The Raiders' schedule is the Giants, which they can beat. The Chiefs, with the way they're playing, I think they can beat them. The Cowboys, they can beat the Cowboys. The Eagles is a loss, for sure. And, I mean, it's going to come down to Week 17 Raiders-Chargers. I think that game determines the final wild card spot or potentially who wins the division, because, like, did you watch? Obviously, you didn't see the game today, but Derek Carr played really, really well. He put up some big numbers, pulling up the stat line right now, just because I had to quickly switch back to the other. Right. Even though they lost Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, their top two receivers in this game. And Derek Carr was still able to put up 253 yards and two touchdowns and no interceptions. Against the Broncos defense, now granted they got torched by the Patriots and the Eagles, but they shut down a bad quarterback in Andy Dalton last week. Like, I think there's, like, you can't tell me. My point to you is you can't tell me that the Raiders have no chance and then tell me that the Cardinals have some semblance of
it. Say that they have a chance. Because
the Raiders are a 10 times better team than the Cardinals, in my opinion.
The schedule gives them a chance. Their schedule is easy peasy. I mean,
their offense is playing like crazy, too. Marshawn Lynch finally got the ball. Right. He only had 67 yards on the ground, but through the air, he had 40 more, and he had a touchdown. Like, it's not crazy to see this team sneaking in. Like, they should be considered as much of a threat as
possible. That's not what we're talking about. I know, but I'm just saying that's the point. But anyway,
right? That's not what we're talking about.
They have a chance, but I think the Chargers are a better team. I think they're like third in their own division. Maybe right now they look like they're better than the Chiefs. The Chiefs look bad. The Chiefs look like a bad team. The Chiefs are going to have to get better. They're going to miss the playoffs. So I'll go ahead and say it. Yeah. If the Chiefs do not get...
You want to talk about the Chiefs right now? Are you done with the Raiders, or can we move on to the Chiefs?
They have a semblance of a chance. I think they're right there with the Bills and everybody else, but... just because they have a better record doesn't mean that
they have a better
week to
record.
Week is different. Like, one team will look good, and then one week the Raiders will look bad. Like, we don't know which Raiders team we're going to see. And in that fourth quarter, I was getting kind of wondering about the Raiders. Yeah, but it was a touchdown game.
That's in garbage time.
It doesn't matter if it's
garbage time. The score is misleading.
But I'm saying it got a little too close. I think as far as the the Raiders go. But I think, I think they have a chance. I just, they're so up and down. I don't know. Like, I'd say they have a chance. They're right in the, they're going to be right in the thick of things, but I don't think they'll, in the end, I don't think they'll get there. So, I think they have a better chance than the Cardinals, if that's what you're asking. So, that's fair.
I think they have a better chance than the Bills and the Bills and the Ravens. I think they're fundamentally a better team than the Bills and the Ravens.
The schedule is as easy for the Ravens as it is for the Oakland Raiders, if not easier. So I'm kind of, that's why I was leaning towards Baltimore in the playoffs when, the other day when we talked about it. But yeah, I don't like.
Yeah. Suddenly, after a week, like the AFC, like we somewhat counted the Raiders out. Like suddenly, within a week, the AFC, after that Chiefs loss, like the AFC West is wide open, and AFC like wild card spot is wide open.
The Bills
again,
actually played up and showed up and won the game.
Let's talk that game. Chiefs, I don't know what's wrong with them. Like, Alex Smith hasn't played great, but it's not all on Alex Smith. Like, Kareem Hunt can't run the ball. They can't block. Their receivers can't get open. Like, I don't know. Like, the team has, like...
No.
Like, they look like the Dolphins' offense.
I told you this earlier on Twitter. I said, Alex Smith has reverted back to the game manager that I've said he was. I've said it for two years. I said Alex Smith's the game manager. But at the beginning of the season,
yeah, I don't disagree with that.
No, I'm not saying you did. I'm not saying you disagree. I'm just saying that I was just making sure you.
I've
agree.
Never disagreed with you on that.
But for two seasons, I've been saying Alex Smith is a game manager. But this at the beginning of the season, we started wondering. And they were winning games when he was throwing the ball down the field. Receivers were getting open. Everything was going right. But now, all of a sudden, receivers aren't getting open. Alex Smith has reverted back to the game manager. Kareem Hunt and Hill. I'm not saying. That's what I'm saying. I said when receivers aren't getting open.
I don't think
open,
that's all on Alex Smith.
Kareem Hunt and Hill aren't able to get going, which they were the main parts of that offense. Week six, we were saying they're the rookie offensive player of the year. Now they're not. I mean, they don't look good right now. So I'm going to say those three reasons are why. And the defense hasn't even been good. I mean, their last two losses have been stunning. I don't know what has happened to the Chiefs have fallen apart, and they're just about ready to lose this division after. We thought that they had it locked up and done. They're about to lose this division. I would go ahead and predict that they're going to lose this division.
And then on the other side, the Bills, you just have to, as a Bills fan, you have to be, like, kicking yourself in the foot because Tyrod Taylor came in and had, a great day. And you feel like if he played that way against the Chargers, like, maybe at this point they have, instead of 5 wins, 7 wins, 6 wins, and then they're in firm control of a wild card spot. But, like I told you, Chris, it's not Tyrod Taylor's fault. Like, if they would have played him, this team would have made the playoffs. Mark my word. But I think they're done. I think that loss to the Chargers, the loss to the Chargers was the end of their season, and it's fully on them. It's not on the Chargers. It's on the Bills coaching staff. I just want to hear from you. Like, you were telling me, I understand the idea. I think it's a good idea that we put Nathan Peterman in.
I told you from the get-go.
Now you see why that was such a bad idea.
That I would say 3 weeks later that I still thought that this was an okay idea. If you're back. If Nathan Peterman showed in practice something that you thought had potential for non-5 interceptions, I said I would stick to it. I said, in 3 weeks, I would say, if Nathan Peterman was it, he should be. This was a good move to try to get Tyrod Taylor back into group. Maybe try. And I still think. Hold on. Today. No, he was struggling.
Tyrod Taylor was playing fine before that happened.
I can look at the stats. I'm telling you right now, he was somewhat struggling.
No, he wasn't. Go look at the stats. Oh my god. No, he wasn't. He didn't throw any interceptions. He was throwing touchdowns. He was getting yardage. Like, I hate that people say he's struggling, because he wasn't struggling. He was playing like a good quarterback, and the defense was giving up big yards. Yeah. Like, he was doing what he was told to do. Yeah, it was the defense's fault. It wasn't Tyrod Taylor's fault. Tyrod Taylor's a good quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback, but he's not.
That's not what I'm saying.
He deserves a starting job.
So, like I said, if they should have known that Nathan Peterman wasn't a good quarterback. So, or at least right now. So, I don't understand it in that sense. Like, why would you put him in the game when you know he's worse? And when he did that, he should have been pulled out of the game before he threw 2 interceptions. But in the other sense, if they knew Nathan Peterman would play half decently, throw maybe 2 interceptions out of 5, and you were trying to get, I don't know if you're trying to send a message, then I still understand. I said that, I would say that 3 weeks ago, and I'm sticking to it, and I'm saying it again. If you thought Nathan Peterman would play better than he did, then you were trying to send a message, then that's what you do. I mean, that's the move you make. That's the risk you take. That's the risk you take, and they took a risk in there, and they miserably failed. All right, so you have an argument for it, so go ahead.
Oh, my God.
No. Yes, you are.
I'm not gonna, because you won't even, like, it's not even, like, why even, like, why, like, if you're just gonna come back and say, well, they thought Nathan Peterman didn't suck, so they put him in for a quarterback that didn't suck already, like, that, like,
that's because you don't understand
the general argument you're making, like,
because you don't
it's
understand
incoherent.
It. Incoherent. No.
No, it's incoherent and terrible. All right. I'm fired up. Let's talk about the Broncos. I'll just sit here quietly, and you just ask me about the Broncos.
With the weak accident, where do we want to start? I know we went over the weak accident, so we'll go over what happened today. So, who would you want your starting quarterback to be going into next week if Paxton Lynch and Travis Siemian was healthy?
Paxton Lynch, I think he tore his Achilles. I think Paxton Lynch is done in Denver. I think he had an awful day before he got injured. Like, he threw an interception to the Raiders, who had not gotten an interception all year, in the end zone off a throw where he could have literally sat his feet down. He had no pressure coming, and he jumped up in the air and, like, fell backwards as he was making the throw. It was incredible, Chris. You should go watch it. And it caroms around in the end zone, and one Raider drops it, and then eventually it falls onto the other player's stomach in the end zone. Like, it's incredible how bad the guy is. Like, he missed Benny Fowler on a wide open throw
on
the first series. He hit one good throw to Devontae Freeman that he put too short. Oh, Devontae Booker. My bad. I apologize. I'm too fired up right now. Devontae Booker that he put too far behind him, so he had to reach back, and he could have scored a touchdown if he just let him a little bit, but no, he went down on the 1 yard line, and then from the 1 yard line, he threw that interception that I just talked about. The Broncos offense was awful, and then Trevor Siemian came in the fourth, and Trevor Siemian looked like what Trevor Siemian was before the Giants game, which is a good quarterback. Like, I'm not sure what to think about Trevor Siemian. I don't want him as my long-term starter, but I want him to start the rest of this year because I think if he starts the rest of this year, I think they can win at least two games. I think they can beat. Well, I still do, but I think that Trevor Siemian's gonna be the starter. They're not gonna throw. Are you kidding me? Like, they thought Brock Osweiler was the. If they go back to Osweiler, like, I'm dumb with this team, Chris. If they go back to Osweiler, like, how dumb are you if you go back to Osweiler? Siemian is far and above. Siemian is 10 times the quarterback both those guys are, and Siemian still has so many question marks around him. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm not sure where I am on the Broncos right now. I want Trevor Siemian to be good, but at the same time, if he sucks, I want to know he sucks so we can start, like, building. Okay, either way, we're going to have an okay draft pick at this point. So, I'd be okay if they went 5-11. I don't want them to lose out. I need them to beat Miami next week. Like, that's if they don't beat Miami, I might cry on this podcast.
Stay tuned.
Like, the Broncos have just.
And so fans, we'll see what happens next question. Next week. But anyway, so. I think a better statement it would be to say that Trevor Siemian is the best of, well, based off what you're saying. Trevor Siemian is the best of what they have. Of the best of the bad quarterbacks.
I think he could be a long term answer if honestly, like, I think what happened to him down the stretch was he got injured and he got, like, his mind, like, knocked out of whack. I think their biggest mistake was putting Osweiler in for three straight games. I think if Trevor Siemian would have played last week, I think they could have won that game.
Let's talk about what happened in the first or second quarter. I won't remember which, but the Aleef Tlaib and Michael Crabtree. I'm sure you saw this, so explain to us what went down and your thoughts. What went down and your thoughts, because I don't know exactly what they know.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Well, you gotta go back to last year when the Broncos and Raiders play, and Aqib Talib ripped off Michael Crabtree's chain. They kind of got into it, and he ripped off his chain, but, like, Crabtree then, as soon as, like, he got hold of his chain, Crabtree, like, blocked him way down the sideline and got him to the ground. And I honestly don't think Crabtree was trying to do anything, but Talib was so pissed that he just threw a punch from the ground, and then, like, offensive tackles got involved. Like, it was a bench clearing brawl, like, 3 minutes in, and then away from the play with his helmet off, Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib get into it again. Crabtree pokes Talib, like, in the face, and Talib hits him kind of with a haymaker across. Both Talib and Crabtree get ejected. The offensive lineman for the Raiders gets tossed. That's kind of what happened. As far as my thoughts go, yeah, this was, like, this, I don't even know, dude. Like, if you have children nearby, just, like, closed barriers or whatever, but I'm so fucking enraged by this. Like you, like, what are you doing? Like, have you lost control of the team this much that at this point you're allowing them to get into freaking bench clearing brawls? Like, this was the point in the game where I was like, okay, Vance Joseph has lost complete control and John Elway's going to fire him because John Elway's a dipshit and John Elway's not going to get fired for the next 15 years because he's too big a figurehead in Denver. But at this point, I've lost all faith in John Elway, all faith in Vance Joseph. If John Elway wants to get me back, he'll go get a quarterback in the offseason. He'll fix the offensive line. He'll get a proven coach. They had talks with Kyle Shanahan last year, and he let him walk because he liked Joseph more. Like, a proven Super Bowl coach, and you took Joseph? Like, a guy who has never, like, held a head coaching spot in his life and has, like, zero experience? Kyle Shanahan has been around the league forever. And I'm so done with the Broncos organization. Like,
yeah, I mean, that situation.
I don't even know, dude. Like, what do you want me to say?
Especially in that front office, they're gonna have to do something. I think you're right. I think they need to clear house. I think because that thing's a mess, and I don't think it's gonna get improved.
Yeah, they need to fire everyone. They need to rebuild. I think they need to trade Aqib Talib too. He's always been a troublemaker for that team. I think he's the reason Chris Harris got into a fight on, like, he is a cancer to that locker room.
Well,
like,
I think
you cannot
favorite
have
GM
guys
will
like
end up
that on your team. You need to get rid
same.
Of Aqib Talib.
I really do. I don't see any changes coming next year. I think Vance Joseph will probably be the head coach, I think. Trevor Simeon will probably be the starting quarterback. I don't see any changes. I mean, maybe they go pick up Kirk Cousins or something, but I don't know. I'm not sure about that. What do you think? If they're going free agency, what quarterback would you go for?
Big name. I'd have to see who's available. I know Kirk Cousins is the big name. I don't know who else is out there, though. Like, if you go free, I'd rather get a, like, as me and Tristan talked about on the last show, I'd rather have John Elway get a proven quarterback than draft a quarterback. I'd rather he draft, like, an offensive lineman or a wide receiver or a defensive piece. Like, that's kind of a route I'd want to go through the draft. Quarterback like Kirk Cousins, I think the likelihood that Kirk Cousins ends up in Denver is small. I really think he's gonna stay with the Redskins.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did end up paying him this offseason.
I think they're gonna pay him. Yeah, I honestly, at this point, I'd be shocked. Like, he's proven it at this point, how valuable he is. I'd be shocked if they don't pay him this offseason and give him a long-term deal, especially after what Stafford and Luck have gotten, and Carr and all these guys who are worse than him right now. Other option. Like, some people are saying Indy and Andrew Luck are having problems. I doubt Andrew Luck would come to Denver.
Bad.
I don't think that'd end well. I don't know. Like,
who's that?
Like to see come to Denver? I'll give you a guess.
I have no idea.
I'll give you a guess.
You probably want to draft a cute quarterback.
You know me pretty well. I talk to you about everything I like.
Yeah, I don't know, seriously. Tell me.
Okay, no, that's the wrong answer.
Oh, well, I should have known that.
Jacoby Brissett. I think Jacoby Brissett Like, I think you could get Jacoby Brissett for, like, a second or third rounder. And, like, I know you don't buy into him for some reason, but I want to see what Jacoby Brissett is. Because I think he can be...
I should have known.
Like, behind a good enough offensive line, I think he can be great.
But...
I don't really know. I don't really know, dude. I think you're probably right.
Well, let's
kind of
move on to the Chargers. We're going to talk about it again today.
Yeah, on Thursday. For recaps. Yeah. Nah, I'm not really feeling it. It's time to get ready for this next week, which is going to be big for us. I have a quarterback ranking piece I got to write this week. I got a power rankings I got to write this week. We got a bunch of stuff outside of the pro sports fandom world I got to do this week. So busy week for me in general. But this week, as far as shows go, we'll do our power ranking show Tuesday. Wednesday, we got a college football show. Some crazy stuff happened yesterday and this weekend. And this is our third show over an hour, which is partly due to my Broncos rant. Really, this ended up about 40, 50 minutes, I think. But not as long as the other ones. So we'll just close out right now.
Y'all know where to follow us at EndZonePod on Twitter.
Chris,
and
anything
I'm at ChrisVSF and Eric's at Eric18Utah. You should have been following us by now if you ain't already.
Yep. Yep. That's a way to put it. All right. We will see you Tuesday. See you Tuesday, Chris. Peace out.